Welcome to the Monday, June 4th Executive Committee Jet Meeting from CIVAG. That's the Secretary of State call the roll.
Blythe?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Present.
Coachella?
Here.
Desert Hot Springs?
Here.
Indian Wells?
Present.
Indio?
Present.
La Quinta?
Here.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs? Rancho Mirage?
Present.
Riverside County 3rd District?
Third
district.
Fourth. I'm sorry.
You're here.
He's here.
He's here. Say here.
I thought you said fair district.
Riverside County 4th district.
Here.
Riverside County 5th district.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Please join me in the pledge of allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we go to the Don, do you have something you'd like to introduce?
On behalf of the City of La Quinta, I'd like to introduce our new City Manager, Frank Spetacek. Frank has worked as a consultant for the city for many, many years, and that really knows our city and really knows the direction we're going and brought us into the position we're already in. So we want to wish Frank the best and thank him for putting his name in.
Thank you. And if you just help us out again, since we're not hiring Smiths and Johnsons anymore, how do you pronounce his name again?
Spetacek.
Spetacek.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
You won't remember that.
Yeah, I'm going to try. Welcome, and look forward to your work. We've read the great things. So. Okay. That brings us to public comments for anyone wishing to address the Executive Committee. And I have two requests. We will start with Paul Reisman regarding the Salton Sea State Recreation Area. Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. Committee members, thank you for allowing me to be here today. My name is Paul Reisman. I'm with the California State Parks, working at Salton Sea State Recreation Area. I'm the acting superintendent there now. I'm here today to give background and information concerning the status of our park. As you know, Governor Brown has ordered most, if not all, state departments to make cuts. State Parks has already closed portions of parks in the past due to cuts and shortfalls. In the case of the Salton Sea, Bombay Beach Campground and Day Use Area were closed a few years ago because there was no longer enough funding to keep that campground and day use area open. In 1980, about 90% of the state park system budget came from the state's general fund. Over the last 30 years, that amount has been reduced to about 14.5%. More and more, the parks have been forced to make up the difference with revenue generation and by finding other sources of funding. The staff at the Salton Sea State Recreation Area, for example, is now down 3 positions. 2 of those have been loaned back from another park just to try to meet the needs of the park. My position is one of those. The vacant positions cannot be filled and still meet the governor's cuts. Over the years, the department has been cut so much and so often that it has forced us to reduce services. When the latest round of cuts came through, there was nowhere to cut except for the seasonal positions. These include the people at the gates who actually did our fee collection. This caused a drop in revenue, which only compounded the problem, putting the department further into the red. The cuts facing the Department of Parks and Recreation have forced us to the point where, to meet the governor's mandate, we need to close parks. The State Parks Department made a list of about 70 parks to close that would meet the governor's mandate. These parks will not be funded by the state again for the foreseeable future. Salton Sea State Recreation Area is one of those parks that the department has decided not to fund. Assembly Bill 42 is a bill that was passed by the state's legislature that allows cooperative associations to help fund the parks that are in trouble. The Sea and Desert Interpretive Association, SDIA for short, is one of those associations trying to assist the parks in this sector.
Paul, can I interrupt? I'm sorry.
Yes.
If you fail to mention, you have 3 minutes on the bid. 1 more minute, please.
SDI is a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization that can help these parks stay open. The associations have the ability to collect funds and reimburse the state for their operations. Salton Sea State Recreation Area hosted about 124,000 visitors last year, These people came from all over the world, including Europe, Canada, and all the northern states, as we already know. All these visitors do a lot for our local economies. Closing the park will have an impact on the entire valley. There's a chance to get some federal help from BLM and Bureau of Reclamation, but they can pay up to 50% of our costs, but it's going to take about 2 years to get us into their budget system. In the meantime, we need to ask our associations for help. Here is to represent our association is Bill Meister. He's our president, and he can explain their mission a little bit further. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, I might be able to answer them.
Well, time don't go far. Let me get some questions. Thank you very much, Bill. This is Bill Meister.
Good afternoon. Thank you for letting me speak to you. My name is Bill Meister. I'm the president of the Sea and Desert Interpretive Association. We're a nonprofit, the 501c3 that's been partnered with the Salton Sea State Recreation Area since 1977. Our mission has been to promote educational and interpretive activities at the park by operating the park's visitor center and providing funding for the educational interpretive activities to the visitors and students throughout the Coachella Valley. These activities include campfire and junior ranger programs, guided birding walks, kayak hikes, outreach, and special community events. We also provide accurate and up-to-date information about the Salton Sea and the surrounding areas. We let people know that, yes, the Salton Sea is very salty, but it's not polluted. We also explain to them that fish die-offs are due to natural causes, and that, yes, nature can be smelly. However, the continuing state budget crisis is requiring us to add fundraising and park management to our mission. Through AB 42, we have developed and submitted a proposal to co-manage the park with Cal Parks. It has been accepted in principle, but we need to raise the money to back it up. Even with the severely reduced park operation we are proposing, it would still take $350,000 a year to operate the park and make the plan work. The park generates about $100,000 a year in camping and day use fees, so we still need $250,000 to complete the budget. We're here today to ask you to match a $15,000 grant that we've received from California State Parks Foundation. We are going to as many cities and agencies that we can in the limited time that we have to meet this goal before June 30th of this month, which is the closing date for the park. We are asking that you give us serious consideration and find a way to help us. Saving the Salton Sea State Recreation Area is important to you as it is to us. What we do at this park keeps the issue of saving the Salton Sea in the public's eye. The over 120,000 visitors and children that we serve each year helps to ensure that the Salton Sea does not become an economic and health disaster for the Coachella and Imperial Valleys. So once again, we are asking you to match the $15,000 grant that we've been given. A written request has been sent to you. We hope you will respond favorably. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Bill. Questions from the committee?
If not, thank you very much.
Well, thank you both, and I heartily applaud your effort. It's a worthy cause. It's a tough time, too. John, before you go, please.
Thank you. If the city provided funding and is still subject to the state potential closure, you know, if a city provided X dollars and you still had to close, would you return those funds?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. We're putting any monies we received into a dedicated account with the promise that we would return them if we're not able to make good on our proposal.
Okay, thank you. And how much have you raised? You need $350,000. Have you got commitments yet totaling?
We have the $15,000 from the Parks Foundation. We have $15,000 that my own organization can supply each year in addition to what we're already doing. We have had favorable information from several agencies that would bring the total up to around $100,000 at this point. I don't want to say we have it for sure because the votes are coming in the next few days.
You know, I was in Sacramento and someone mentioned that there was some consternation in front of the budget subcommittee with regard to the cuts of the parks. What's your sense? Is there any hope of any portion of this being restored through the budget process?
There's a possibility of that. but at this point, there's just no way to tell. So instead of waiting and having to close without trying our plan, we just need to really start. And if we don't need the money, it can all be returned.
Our preliminary discussions with the Parks Chief for the county were very, very unpleasant. They're having huge problems everywhere, as you no doubt. But I'll ask them again. Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Executive Committee Director comments. Anybody have anything before I have a couple of items?
I'd like to thank Vaughn for taking care of my duties. I couldn't get checked out of Eisenhower in time, but I think I got out about 6:30, but thank you. And I want to thank staff and directors for the nice card they sent me, so thank you.
We're glad to see you back here. I mean, we had you on the phone this morning. You're always there. I didn't expect to see you here.
Looking good.
Can we ask you to get them canceled? No. Anybody else? Any other comments? Okay. Let me just note that the Personnel Admin Committee met to go over some of the budget assumptions, and we will have a full presentation on the budget at item 7, so I'm not going to review that now. We also had a discussion about Mr. Kirk's performance. You can imagine In general, we're very, very happy, and we've provided an evaluation, and we thank you for your continued service. And you have that already in your file. So, and I thank Yvonne and Joey and Richard Kite for assisting me in putting that together. So, any other comments from committee members, or Tom, do you have
just a couple of brief ones. One, the early earthquake warning system, we have been trying to cobble together funding for that, as you all are well aware. We were successful and then unsuccessful with the state, Cal EMA, Assemblyman Perez and Senator Vargas have been very helpful with reopening that door, right, Jacob? And we do have a chance at some state funding, really federal funding that comes through the state. I know saying state funding these days means there may not be something there. On more very positive and conclusive grants, we did receive some state fundings. I think most of you saw in an email we sent out to you 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that is on state sustainability grant funding, $1 million. We did get through the state, and that will support engineering and planning and design efforts on the parkway down the Whitewater River and answer a lot of the questions we all have about cost, maintenance cost, feasibility, environmental issues, and the like. So that effort, as you'll hear in coming months, will be underway shortly. Lastly, on the parkways, you've probably seen the invitation sent out by Bert Ricks related to tomorrow. There's an economic analysis presentation by Dr. John Husing on the economic benefits of the parkway. It's a co-hosted affair by CVEP, the Greater Palm Springs Convention and Visitors Bureau, and CVAG. That event's taking place at 11 o'clock tomorrow at Rancho Las Palmas and Rancho Mirage. And if you haven't gotten the invitation and want to attend, see Joanna or me. We'll put you in contact with those keeping account of things. That's the extent of my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have a consent calendar before us. Does anybody, any member wish to pull any item off the consent calendar?
Move approved.
Second.
We have a motion, a second.
Abstention on 6A, which all?
Yeah, we have one abstention on 6A.
Mr. Chair, I just have a question on one item, actually two items, is 2 and 3, the reports, the status reports. I noticed that a lot of the projects go back to 2006. Can we clear those up? Is there a reason to keep them on there?
In some cases, they are old projects that still have not closed out. There's still a reimbursement request coming in.
Okay, fair enough.
But we'll double-check and make sure there's no dead wood there.
Great, thank you.
Okay, with those abstentions and that comment noted, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Consent calendar is approved. Okay, let's see. Items number, discussion action number 7. We have a change of chairs about to come upon us. And following the normal process and tradition, we have a staff report that
before you, I think it was part of the process or the agenda package. I would propose, and again, keeping with the historic pattern, that we appoint Yvonne Parks, Marion Ashley, and Steve Pugnier to serve on the nominating committee. If anybody else really wants to be a part of that, raise your hand. Otherwise, I would love to entertain a motion and we'll just get this started.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Any further comment? No defense about it. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? And I'd ask you to briefly meet after the meeting.
This meeting.
Yes. And I think you may be able to handle your responsibilities rather expeditiously.
So.
Okay.
We over here in the
Okay. That takes us to item B, the proposed 2012-13 budget. And Gary, you have a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, committee members. Presented to you is CBEC's balanced draft budget for fiscal year 2012-2013 for your review. Staff would like to thank the budget subcommittee members, Mr. John Woolman from the City of Palm Desert and Mr. Alex Gant from the County of Riverside for their time and valuable input on the budget. The budget subcommittee reviewed the draft budget with staff on May 23rd, had a few questions and suggestions, and their input has been incorporated into the draft budget. As a quick summary overview, and as noted on page 22, CBEC is projecting total revenues of $85 million versus $87 million budgeted for the prior year. Of $85 million, $81 million is transportation revenue, which is almost similar to last year's amount. In the Community Resources Department, revenues are down by $800,000, projected at $2.1 million. The main reason for the decrease is the reduced funding for the homeless program. But on a positive note, with grants and AB 2766 funding from the jurisdictions, CBEC anticipates that there will be sufficient funding to continue the street sweeping program for the next two fiscal years. In the Energy and Environmental Resources Department, revenues are projected at $1.9 million, decreased by $2.3 million due to the wrapping up of the utilities grant. On the expenditure side, on page 23, CBEC is projecting $94 million versus $101 million in the prior year, a decrease of $7 million. And as expected, transportation accounts for $9 million. Due mainly to the construction work on regional arterials, construction and project costs is budgeted at $85 million, a decrease of $6 million over the last year's budget. Page 13 shows membership dues assessments. The Administrative Committee recommended a CPI increase of 2.2%, or about $7,700. Although the federal fund has incurred deficits the last five fiscal years, CBEC is expecting the surplus for this fiscal year and is projecting a small surplus for the upcoming fiscal year. Staffing-wise, CBEC intends to bring the biological and land management work in-house by hiring a management analyst. Although there will be no fiscal impact for CBEC, as this position will fully be funded by CVCC, however, CVCC is projected to save about $30,000 by doing so. Finally, also at the recommendation of the Administrative Committee, CBEC is proposing for the current fiscal year no cost of living increase, no step increases, and no merit vacation leave. Total salaries and benefits expenditure for the upcoming fiscal year will reflect a 9% increase over the fiscal year 2011-2012 budget. No action is required at this time. Staff will be recommending that the Technical Advisory Committee approve the budget at their June 11th meeting. We will ask for your approval on the budget at the next Executive Committee meeting on June 23rd. Between now and then, if you have any questions or suggestions on the budget, please do not hesitate to call me. This concludes staff's presentation. Staff will be happy to answer any questions that the committee members may have.
So this is informational purposes at this time. Take it back, go through it. If you have any detailed questions, time to make. If you have questions you'd like to have answers for now, I'll be happy to entertain a few questions. We will have a discussion with the technical committee and then final approval at the General Assembly in a month. Any
other questions? I think it's an appropriate budget. Love to see more money coming in, but it's just not there. We're taking the right steps to live within our means. Okay, thank you very much. And I'll bring us item C, consideration of voluntary building program and update on preliminary greenhouse gas reduction plans. Dave Alvarez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. As you recall, last month we provided some background on the entire program, but specifically the voluntary green building program. Since then, we've made some outreach to particular stakeholders, which include the Desert Valley Builders Association's Gretchen Gutierrez, BIA's Bill Blankenship, as well as the Desert Contractors Agency Association, Ron Phillips. All of them were supportive of the project, specifically the voluntary green building project. They're very supportive of the word voluntary in the title, and they were definitely supportive of the potential of working on the existing building stock with their membership. We're currently working on scheduling a meeting with the DVBA's membership. We also met with the United States Green Building Council, who you would guess would be very supportive of the project, as well as the Coachella Valley Water District. Right now, we have meetings that are going to be set up with the Coachella Valley International Code Council, as well as your local chambers of commerce. We see that the voluntary green building program is a way to, it's basically a jobs and a education program, and we see it as a way to help revitalize the construction industry, which has been hit really hard in our economy. With COVID changing in the next couple of years, this gives us a great opportunity to educate our local contracting industry, or construction industry, especially our contractors, on how to build sustainable as the marketplace is changing. With the California goal of a net zero home by 2020, meaning that a home is built energy efficient and it uses the energy it creates, we as a region want to make sure that the mom and pop contractors don't get displaced out of the market. We want to help these contractors build in a cost-effective manner and help our contractors build our contractors' knowledge base on energy efficiency and sustainable building. We're currently working with COD and other stakeholders to help develop a training program for both contractors as well as city staffs to build, and we want to make sure that these are sustainable so that they last over time, since our funding does not. We're currently in the process of developing a website and to assist the promotion of the region's environmental and green business efforts. We're developing some pretty sophisticated tools, like a green building app for residents and contractors who want to build energy efficient or want to do energy efficient upgrades but doesn't want the PhD to get there. These web interactive tools are easy to use and intuitive, and this will help our participants, our program participants, to be able to apply this program at a funding level that's basically comfortable for them. In the end, it's about helping our local economy. With the help of this will help our residents reduce their energy consumption, which results in lower bills, more dollars in their pockets, and in turn, they'll be spending those dollars in their pockets in a local retail, which then will help with job creation. But in the end, these additional revenues will help your cities take on additional sales tax revenues and put them back into the general fund. We're currently working a schedule with your staffs to be put on study sessions in June, to be assigned to your city council meetings in July and September for the program adoption. CVAC staff, along with our consultant teams, are trying to carry much of the work and burden as possible. However, we do need your staff's input to make sure that the program's working for your cities and that the program's customized to your city's needs. We want to make sure that this is overall success, and once again, we're providing templates, staff reports, and resolutions to not burden your staff as much as possible. Last month, E&E approved the endorsement unanimously, as well as TAC. Cities of Tucson, Scottsdale, and Phoenix have similar environments to ours, have passed either voluntary or mandatory programs. With that, I'll leave it up to Mayor Pugna if you'd like to add something as a E&E.
Jacob, Chair and Mike, we did pass it at E&E. The City of Palm Springs has already moved it forward, but I think it's interesting. You might want to spend just a few minutes talking about Scottsdale, because we had this conversation at E&E. Scottsdale's program is actually mandatory. I know that a lot of developers don't like to hear that, but it's interesting that the impact hasn't been so great in Scottsdale, all the worries. We're not going to pass a mandatory program here, but it doesn't hurt for folks to hear that Scottsdale's program is actually doing fairly well.
It's doing okay. I'm not at all prepared to talk to that in depth of it, but maybe Katie and Cole.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, Katie is the staff person for the EMEA. I think it's interesting. We talk about volunteering, which is terrific. It's a first step. Some cities have gone to the next step, and it really hasn't impacted development as you might. As some people might fear that it does. So I certainly hope that this group, and I think they probably will support it tonight.
So the impact or the program adopted by Scottsdale is basically what we see in the voluntary green building manual, but just adopted as not the voluntary, but the program of Scottsdale.
Pretty much, that's what you're doing. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Other questions?
And they're not complaining.
No.
Yeah. Well, I think you said that there was some discussion among developers.
Yeah, well, the developers always fear that, obviously. Anything that's mandatory is going to increase cost to a home, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know if the economy's bad, but those fears were laid to rest in Scottsdale.
They're building things in Scottsdale so they know?
Phoenix, in addition to a few other cities, one of the hottest housing markets in the country. San Francisco, Phoenix, Denver, and Washington, D.C. So,
it's soon here, right?
Well, Palm Springs is through the foreclosure mess, and everybody else. Come on.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other comments?
Prices are up.
Mr. Chair, I have just a quick comment. I heard CBWD mentioned, but I didn't hear the other water districts, so hopefully you're also working
with... I didn't mention it, but we're meeting with DWA this week, and we don't have Mission Springs up to bat yet, but we'll get them in queue.
Coachella, and I think India also
We currently have meetings starting to be set up within the next 2 weeks with IID-served territories. My apologies.
In the city of India's separate water district?
Mr. Chairman, we did ask them, some of the bigger developers, go out and explain it. Be very aggressive. Don't just wait for it to trickle down from cities. I mean, go speak to some of them. We all know there's a handful of some of the larger developers that have a lot of development, still have their property and did lose it before closure. And go out and have individual meetings with those folks who can control a lot of the land so they just don't hear from others.
Move staff report.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to the staff report, which is to adopt in support of the voluntary green building manual. I'll just ask for those in support.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Anyone? Measure passes. Thank you very much. Okay, item number D, consider amendment number one to the agreement with the City of Coachella having 50 grade separation. Alan Hyde.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To start the staff report, I'd like to read on the report of the actions of both the Transportation Committee and the Technical Advisory Committee from their meetings. Both the Transportation Committee and the Technical Advisory Committee concurred with staff recommendation to approve amendment number one to the agreement with the City of Coachella for the Avenue 52 grade separation project. However, either through misunderstanding or misinformation, the dollar amount approved at both meetings was $1,297,500. This amount is featured in the original letter of request dated April 25, 2012, but was not the intended amount of request. The intended request was meant to be in the amount of $1,875,000, which is 75% of the $2,500,000, another amount that is featured in that April 25th letter. All the other aspects of the original letter are still active. As to the background, in October of 2010, the Executive Committee approved an agreement with the City of Coachella, which authorized the reallocation of $10 million of Trade Corridor Improvements Fund, TCIF grant funds, which were acquired by CBAG to be redirected from the Avenue 66 grade separation project to the Avenue 52 grade separation project. The Executive Committee also authorized the allocation of CVAG regional funds in the amount of $215,000 and $625. That's 75% of the local share of the match money for congestion mitigation air quality funds. The TCIF funds are limited to $10 million per approved project, and they must be matched 50-50. Projects funded from TCIF grants must be under construction by December 31st, 2013, or the grant funds will be reclaimed by the state of California. TCIF funds can only be used for construction purposes. Federal CMAQ funds may be used to match TCIF funds. At their meeting of October 29, 2007, the Executive Committee approved a list of projects with a total construction cost of over $30.6 million of CMAQ funds. The Avenue 52 grade separation project was recommended an award of $10,180,000 of CMAQ funds. The current estimated cost of the Avenue 52 grade separation project is $22 million. So they've got $10 million of TCIF, and they've got $10,180,000 of CMAQ. There are two letters from the City of Coachella attached. One is the April 25th, 2012 letter. Another is the May 17th, 2012 letter. One, I think the first one's found on page 75, and the other's on page 73. And they provide the background for the explanation used as the lead-in in the staff report. The April letter provided, it says incorrect amount, but it should be unintended amount, of $1,297,000. The intended amount was actually $1,875,000, and that's 75% of that $2.5 million I was talking about. The city, in both letters you see, the city is concerned about complying with the timetable that's established by the TCIF money. There's an environmental document process that if they stick with the time frame that is required by the CMAC and the TCIF funding, they could miss that December 31st deadline. Therefore, the city has requested that CMAC agree to provide 75% of the estimated cost of the right-of-way, being $2.5 million, and that which would make the right-of-way acquisition a local process and not fully subject to the same state and federal processes. According to the city letter, that will save approximately 6 to 8 months on schedule. The schedule has been allowed construction to begin in the summer of 2013, well before the December deadline. And there's also correspondence in there that sets out a schedule, and this was especially for John Woolman. The timing is to provide for all the environmental documentation to be completed and adopted and approved prior to any right-of-way being purchased, and everything in that regard will be in conformance with federal and state requirements, guidelines, so we won't create any problems where there will be a violation of state or federal law such that the right-of-way will create a problem.
The Jefferson Rule applies.
The Jefferson Rule applies all over the Coachella Valley, not just in India.
Yes. Yes.
The staff recommendation today, which has been approved by both the Transportation Committee and the FAC, is that the Executive Committee approve Amendment Number 1 to the agreement with the City of Coachella for the Avenue 52 Grade Separation Project in the amount not to exceed $1,875,000, with conditions specified herein as authorized by CBAC's cash flow preservation policy. And, of course, has to do with payback in case there are any failures on the parts before.
I'll move approval. Second. We have a motion. May I have a second?
Second.
We do. Okay. Further discussion? I'd like to have a test on the acronyms. I think that the support of the city, and we've made some great steps. If you want to comment, please go ahead.
And just a comment, first and foremost, let me apologize for that misprint there on the dollar amount, but I think we're consistent with the 75-25% match. But nevertheless, we feel very good in terms of meeting the schedules. The least thing we want to do is send back any money to the state. And we have brought my engineering team here, and the city manager's here. We're ready to take this project on and build another grade separation that's very well needed in the eastern Coachella Valley. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Any other comments? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Good luck. Have a good day. Okay. All right, announcements. The upcoming meeting of the Classic Club, I-10, Cook Street. This is the big Executive Committee and General Assembly. In honoring of the past year when I stood in with the President, I will not be able to be there this time. I apologize. But Joey's going to stand in for me. And everybody try and make it. That's going to be an important meeting, and it's always good to get together for the annual meeting. I apologize, I'll be out of town. Any other comments? Unless there are other comments or questions, we are adjourned.